Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Bridgeway Church. Whether you are family, friends, or you help put the shingles on the roof, you're all in the family now. It's Baptism Sunday, and I'm excited. Are you excited for some baptisms today?
Yes.
Absolutely. There's going to be testimonies today and people following in obedience to the Lord through the act of baptism. Oh my goodness, that's so exciting. A couple announcements for you guys today as we get started though. There is no children's church today because no one is missing the baptisms. We are all staying to do this together as a family. So we are all in this together. Another thing going on, there's potluck lunch after church today because the family eats together after they baptize together. So everyone has to come on downstairs and we're going to have a meal together and it is going to be wonderful. And as a family, as a church, we have been given a project, an assignment, if you will, and I need your help. The refugee family will be here soon, and we've been given a job. Our job is to provide bedding for their house. So there is a sign up at the back on the counter. They need brand new bedding, and they need our church to go find brand new bedding and purchase it and donate it towards this family. So if you would like to be part of the team that goes and finds bedding and brings it for these people, please go sign up at the back and or talk to Brenda about that. She would love to tell you about that. A part of the family that was gone last week is back this week. I'm back, and Sora is back. Wade's back, Michael's back, Danae is back, and Olivia is back here. So the 30-second version is next week we are going to do a presentation. Next week we're going to show you pictures. The young people are going to come up here and share a little bit about what they learned, about what God told them. But if you bump into any of those four people today, ask Olivia about what it's like to lead games with kids that don't speak English, that only speak, they're Syrian kids that only speak Arabic. Ask Danae what the Arabic word for no is, and she'll tell you all about that. If you bump into Michael, ask him about telling a Bible story to all of these different kids from all of these different nations. Ask him what it's like to calm them all down and try to tell them about what Jesus did. And if you bump into Wade, ask him about the different kids he gave piggyback rides to, and how many kids he pulled on sleds every time we went sledding. So if you find those four people, ask them all about SOAR. They would love to tell you about the work that we did and the young people that we met. It was incredible. But that'll be next Sunday when we talk about that. I'm going to call up Curtis Colossin, and he has an announcement for you guys.
Thanks, Darren. So I want to try to keep this quick. I got two things. One quick thing about Promise Keepers. If you're interested in going, there is a sign-up sheet on the back counter by the office. Just sign your name on there. That's all you need to do for now. And then we'll do a whole registration together and send that in that way, and we'll worry about the money and the hotel and stuff after. So just quickly that. The thing I'm really up here for is, as we all know, Pastor Bob is now in a transition, if you will, moving away from full-time ministry here into some sort of other role. And so that means that leaves us with a search for a new pastor. And so I have been commissioned or chosen or whatever word you want to use as the chairman for the search committee. It's myself, Chad Martins, Teresa Hildebrandt, and Ryan Wiebe. We are the chosen few, I guess, that have been given this task. And we started this last week, just kind of working through some of the preliminary stuff, what we need to have ready, what we need to get together. We're starting to put together an ad to get out there. We're starting to work through some of the things that we need to be prepared for as we look through resumes. And part of what we want to do is to keep you updated as a church body. And so this is kind of the first installment of I don't know how many, but we'll kind of keep you in the loop as much as we can as we're going through this. And our hope is to begin hopefully in April we'll begin to really be able to start working through some resumes and look at some of the potential candidates that we can have. So please pray for us, pray for the process, pray for the person that God is going to send our way to be the next pastor, and just for his leading in all this. And if you've been reading through Acts, as we've been going through Acts, you see that God moves, and God selects, God chooses, and God sends. And so we're just trusting him for the whole process. So please pray for us, and continue to pray through this time. Thank you.
And now we're going to start our service. So can I ask you, before we pray, would you stand up? And can we pray standing together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning, humbled by your salvation, that you would choose to save us, that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. There's no greater love than that. And we honor that sacrifice, Lord, through worship and through prayer and through the reading and the teaching of your word and through testimony today and through baptism. And Lord, we just pray that today you would join us and be delighted by the obedience of your children to walk towards you and to join in to your baptism. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be moving in the hearts of all of us today, that as we listen to the testimony of people's lives who've been changed by your love, that our hearts would be changed by your love too. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing. I'm going to call up the worship team, and we're going to begin our worship this morning. But because there's so many visitors today, maybe try to find one visitor you don't know. Introduce yourself. Welcome them to our church.
We're going to invite you to remain standing with us. We want to join our hearts together, especially with those who are getting baptized this morning, both in the joy of the step that they're making, but hopefully also for us as believers that this is a reminder and a challenge of maybe the commitment we've made to Christ, that we're willing to stand up for him, and we want him to be the center of our lives. So we invite you to join us in singing now, and we want to lift our praises to the Lord.
Danger. Well, we're going to hear some testimonies today. First, we're going to hear three testimonies by three young people. And then after the offering and that kind of thing, then we'll hear testimonies by three older adults. And so it's going to be kind of a broad range today. And it's always exciting when we hear people's stories of how they came to an understanding of their need of a Savior, of their sinfulness, and the fact that God in his wonderful grace and mercy has sent his Son to redeem us. And so it's just going to be a good day. Then a little bit later on in the service, we'll be pulling up the curtain there, and we'll be out in the back, and we'll be doing some baptisms. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 5 tells us there that when we are baptized, it is literally being identified with Jesus. That as we enter into the waters of baptism where we could not breathe and could not live, it's a picture of death. And then we come up out of the waters and take that first breath of air, it's like the life of Jesus coming into us. It's like the Holy Spirit comes to our lives. And though that doesn't happen at baptism. It happens when we are converted to Christ, but it's just a picture of the new life that we have as we follow Jesus. Some might be questioning about membership, and we are going to do that a little bit later, probably I think in April. Not quite sure if that's the date, but April we're going to have a special Sunday when we invite people to affirm their membership here if you already are, and then for others who want to become what we call members, participants in the life of the church here, then we'll be doing that as well. So that'll be a little bit down the road, so we're not doing that today. Today it's testimonies and baptism. How this will work is we're going to have the three young people come first. It'll be Lincoln Chase and then Hayden Smith. And they'll come and share their stories with us. And they'll just maybe sit down in the front for a few moments till all three are shared. And then we'll just pass the cordless mic around. If you have a word of encouragement for them, just something you'd like to say to them, encourage them, do that. And then after that's done, then they'll get ready to go and change or whatever they want to do. And we'll move into our offering time then. So I'm going to invite Lincoln up first. I have, I don't know if I've ever had anybody that was as anxious or excited to give his testimony as Lincoln. Yeah, I can just sit there. He wanted to get right at it. And a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of just showing, he already had his written up. And he got sharing, reading the story, and all of a sudden he started sharing some other stuff. And then some other stuff. And wow, I think, and this is... This is just a kid, and he's got just a real heart for God. Wow, that's great. But I understand his parents kind of sat down with him and pulled the reins back a little bit on him. Said, whoa, just a minute here now. So maybe some Sunday he could fill in when I don't feel like preaching or something, right? Anyway, so go ahead, Lincoln, and then followed by Chase, and then Hayden after that.
Hello, my name is Lincoln Joe Jr. Martins. I go to Waldeck School, and I live on a ranch 30 minutes away. Sometimes I help my dad with brandings, roundups, and other jobs around the ranch. On December 12, 2010, when I was five, I became a Christian. 5 years later, I thought to myself I was definitely missing something. Something very important. One night, I went to my mom and dad and asked them about being baptized. They said I needed to learn about what baptism is. So when baptismal classes came up, I jumped right on them. After the service, I went to Pastor Bob and asked them when they started. 2 days before baptismal classes started, I was helping my dad get the hay out to the cows when one of the choppers on their bale processor got jammed. We hopped out to clean it up. My dad ended up cutting his hand on one of the blades. We then had to go to the hospital to get it stitched up. On the way there, it was windy and the roads were icy, so I started to pray. After that, everything was okay. But I think God was testing me more than he was testing my dad. I think he wanted to see what I would do if I was in a tough situation. I want to be baptized today because I think God is calling me to do this. I also want to be baptized today because I'm showing everyone that I am following God. A Bible verse that is encouraging to me is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Thank you for listening to my testimony. Have a good rest of the week, and God bless.
Good morning. My name is Chase Martins. I live on a ranch 25 to 30 minutes away from town. I work with my dad and the rest of the ranch crew to help out with our cows. My dad takes Jermaine, Lincoln, and I down to the horse barn to ride our horse. Her name is Honey. Sometimes we have good days riding Honey, and sometimes we have bad days riding her. We do all of this because it helps us to know what to do when we are chasing cattle to a different pasture or to our corrals. I am in grade 6. I like to be involved in sports. I was on the junior volleyball team, and now I like to play basketball, although sadly there is no junior basketball team. I became a Christian when I was 5. It was July 23rd, 2011. God was telling me that it was the right time to become a Christian. Our dad would read the Bible to my family every night. We talked about Christianity. We would talk about how Satan would take over our lives. I pictured it as him putting rocks inside my heart each time I sinned. Instead, I filled my heart with Jesus. I have been going to West Bank Bible Camp since I was 5, and have enjoyed going ever since. This past year at camp, our speaker talked a lot about being a Christian. I was questioning the decision I'd made when I was 5. I wondered if it was real. Was I really a Christian? I think God was using the speaker's words and what I was reading in my Bible at that time to challenge me about becoming a more mature Christian. Sometimes I came across a book that looks good on the outside, but on the inside it isn't very good. What I mean is not uplifting, encouraging, or godly. When that happens, I shut the book and look for a new one. It is like my dad says, everything is a test. God allows things in my life to help me mature as a Christian. I want to be baptized because I think it is a public sign that I follow God, and I want to be obedient to him. I think baptism shows maturity and growth. A chapter that I like in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. It tells me to love and how to properly love others. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Hi, I'm Hayden. I have a dog named Bruiser, and I turned 13 last August. I first recognized my need for Christ when I was 8 years old while attending camp. I tried to grow in my faith by attending Sunday school, church, camp, and youth. Recently, when I realized I was an enemy of God, I wasn't very happy about that. Romans 5:10 from the New King James Version says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Through talking with my family, I realized the truth of the matter, that there was nothing that I could do about it. Because I was born a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I also came to a bender of understanding that the only way that I could not be an enemy of God is to allow Jesus to fill the gap between God and me, trusting only on the work that Jesus did on the cross to cover for my sins. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Today, I choose to be baptized as a way of showing my willingness to accept the gift I've been given by Jesus Christ, to begin my life as God's follower. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is my desire to accept this gift from this day forward to demonstrate to others the same grace and mercy and forgiveness I've been shown by Jesus Christ.
So, they have the cordless mic at the back there. So anybody want to just share a word of encouragement to these young people? Encourage them in their journey.
Well, good job, you guys. You all did an excellent job. It's good to hear your stories. And I don't want to take too long, but Lincoln had a little concern that his testimony wasn't very long. And I said, well, you know, how old are you, Lincoln? You're 10 years old. You haven't actually done a whole lot of living yet. So it's going to hopefully be filled up with lots more. And that goes for all of you guys. We're all very proud of you. And I think I can speak for everyone here that we're glad to be a part of your family that's supporting you today in what you're doing. I just want to share a couple of verses. Philippians 3:12-14. These are verses that I've always enjoyed reading and that I actually chose for my testimony when I was being baptized. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So just keep on working ahead, keep on looking towards Jesus, and I think you'll be on the right track. And there's one more I just wanted to share with you quickly. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because of you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So keep shining for Jesus. You guys are doing great.
Amen. Any other words of encouragement, these young people?
I want to thank you so much for your testimonies. You have been such an encouragement to me that in your youth, you were so committed to God. Thank you so much, and I pray that you will continue to remain true to God. Thank you, kids.
Lord bless each one of you. The Lord has great things in store for you. I want to share from Philippians 2, the end of verse 11 and verse 12. Put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you. This verse 12 has been sort of my life verse since I did Bible quizzing in grade 11. Memorized this verse. God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. We're praying for you kids, and we will keep on.
For each of you young people, I think it's important that you've done this. I just want to say that for Lincoln and Chase, that it's been my prayer right from the time you were born that the Holy Spirit would lead you and guide you. And I see that he's doing that. And I just will continue to pray. Grandma and I think it's really significant that you're doing this. And we just want to thank you for your testimony to us. Thank you.
Okay. Darren, you want to come and lead us in the offering?
If you didn't say something, but you're thinking about something, go find them after church and give them a hug and tell them how you'd like to encourage them. All right. Let's pray together. Holy God, we give you the honor and the glory. And right now, Lord, we offer up to you what you have given to us. We pray, Lord, for this offering that would be used to further your kingdom. And that more people, Lord, would have a testimony, more people would be baptized and join your kingdom because of the work, Lord, of your church around the world. So thank you, Lord, for the faithful family at Bridgeway. Thank you for their encouragement, and thank you, Lord, for their giving. May they be blessed this morning, Lord, as we bless you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Simplicity, longing. step it all away till only you remain. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And forever I'll sing, forever I'll sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. I come with my broken song to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. Give me a childlike heart, lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love.
Darren, do you want to come up and introduce Elisa? Oh, we have three adults now being baptized, and that's going to give their testimonies for baptism, and it's awesome when God works in people's hearts all through our lives. And there's times when he speaks clearer and louder than he has in the past, it seems, and we hear that and respond to that. And so Darren's going to introduce Elisa, and then I'll just introduce Murray and Todd. So.
Sure. Absolutely. I have known Elisa through David for a while, through my work at West Bank Bible Camp, through meeting David, learning about this lady that he fell in love with, and now his wife. And they've only started attending our church months ago, but since attending our church, it's become their home. And you'll probably hear that a little bit in what she talks about this morning. So I hope that you are encouraged this morning through the testimony of Elisa. Do you want to come on up? And her family's all here. They're from Manitoba, made the trip. So make sure to encourage her and say hello to her family. Come up and share your testimony.
For as long as I can remember, I've known about Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home with two loving parents who taught me about who Jesus is and what he did for us. I went to church and Sunday school every Sunday, and I prayed with my parents daily. And when I was around 4 years old, I gave my life to God. I was involved in a lot of activities growing up. I attended Bible camp every summer, various VBS programs, Awana, and I continued to attend church every Sunday. Though I was still pretty young, I was gaining a lot of knowledge about the Bible. It wasn't until junior high that I started to feel a disconnect. Growing up, going to church and all these activities, I knew all the answers to almost everything that we talked about in Sunday school. I was once even told by my youth pastor in Sunday school to stop answering questions and let someone else have a turn. What I found, though, was that I had a disconnect between my brain and my heart. I had all this head knowledge, the Sunday school answers, but I couldn't connect it to my heart. It started out as a difference between knowing what the life of a Christian looked like and not knowing exactly how to put it into practice. As I moved into high school, it became a difference of knowing what I should do and not really wanting to do it. In my grade 10 year, I went through a period of questioning. What did I believe? Was God even real? And how can I be sure that this is the truth and that the God I learned about is actually the one true God? I got to a point where I felt so lost and confused that I just didn't want to try anymore. I didn't want to put in the effort required to be a Christian because I didn't know what it was that I even believed in. I continued to attend church, but that's about as far as it went. When I got to grade 12, I was faced with the traditional question, what are you going to do after high school? I had no career ambitions, and I felt like my life really didn't have a direction. I still felt very, very lost. I looked around at the people in my life, particularly at the people that I looked up to, and they all seemed to have this solid connection with God. Though I had pretty much turned away from the Christian life, I found myself longing for that connection with God. I guess that was the moment when I really felt God calling me back to him. After I graduated, I attended Briarcrest Bible College in hopes of finding some answers and finding God in my life again. And it was there that I rededicated my life to God. After leaving Briarcrest, I have felt like I've been called to be baptized a couple times, though each time I shrugged it off. I still feel as though I'm very new in my faith, despite growing up as a Christian, which has led to feelings of inadequacy, feeling like I'm not a strong enough Christian to be baptized. Maybe next time, after I started to pray more, or read my Bible more, or live a better or more obedient life. I never felt ready or like I was worthy of being baptized. What I came to realize, though, is that I'm never going to feel good enough, because I'm not. I'm not deserving of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, but that's what makes it so amazing. I know I'm the farthest thing from perfect, and I'm going to fail sometimes. But today I want to show you guys, as my new church family, that I'm willing to try. I'm not perfect, and I know I'm never going to be perfect, but I've reached a point where I want to put in the effort, because I finally feel in my heart that it's worth it. And I want to ask you guys, as my church family, to come alongside me and help me be accountable, to encourage me when I'm feeling discouraged, and most importantly, to pray.
And now, two fellows that I shade, just a little older for sure, Murray Metke and Todd Clausen. Now, both of them really, I think, struggled with the whole idea of being up front of, in front of a group of people, kind of the opposite of Lincoln. You know, Lincoln, he was going to pursue it passionately and quickly, couldn't wait. But these guys are a little more finding it the challenge of that. And so I'm just glad how God has worked and encouraged them and given them the boldness to be up here today. So, Murray, you come and share your story, and or part of your story, and just so good that all of a sudden God's been moving in his heart and decided, hey, I need to do this. So I'll turn it over to you, Murray.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Murray Metke, and I'm going to have to read all this because I'm not very eloquent in language. I'm not even so good at writing, but I agree with what everyone else has said so far, especially them young fellows and young lady. But, well, this has been a long time in the making. For a while now, I have felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit to be baptized. This is not to gain forgiveness, nor to gain my entrance into heaven. I have that because Jesus Christ came, loved me, and died for me. And just for my acceptance of him, I receive everlasting life with him. So my baptism is to make a public statement of my salvation and my desire to follow Jesus. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can be successful. My journey to this time has been slow and often off the road, but God, in his power and wisdom, has provided me with many teachers, friends, family, my loving wife and children, all to help me in growth and desire to be more Christ-like. This morning I felt encouraged to speak of the body of Christ we are. I'm not sure where he has placed me, but all parts are important. The eyes are to see where we are needed. Our ears are to hear the cries of the lost and fallen, and our mouths to give witness and hope to all our brothers and sisters. Our arms and hands are to reach out and care for and show love to all. Our backs and our hips are so we can bend down and help others out of the pit of their despair. Our legs and feet provide us with a way to move to get to those in need. We are all one and need each other. Our different gifts to do his will. I thank you all who have been obedient and helped others and myself in their struggles, need, and growth. Please continue. Thank you.
People out here. yeah, I think I'd be opposite of Lincoln in quite a few ways. His testimony, he was worried about being too short. Mine's a little bit long. It was 45 minutes, and I shaved off a couple of minutes off of that, so see what we can do. Good morning. For those of you that don't know my name is Todd Clausen. Those of you that know me well also know that the last place I'd want to be is up here. In fact, my extreme fear of public speaking has kept me from doing this for a very, very long time. Through the years, God has been nudging me and telling me it'll be okay, but I still lack the courage and faith. Throughout my life, he has shown me time and time again he is looking out for me and wants what's best for me, and thankfully, he has placed many great people in my life as examples. Seeing as I haven't passed out yet, I guess I'll start from the beginning. Sorry, I heard this wasn't supposed to be really a life story, but it's kind of the way it turned out here, so bear with me. I was born just about 51 years ago to a strong Christian woman suffering from severe depression and alcoholic father. Despite this, my two older sisters and I enjoyed what I thought to be a pretty normal childhood. Mom had us going to Sunday school and church every Sunday, as well as vacation Bible school, youth, and other church activities. Dad never attended church, which was fine, as having an alcoholic around could be kind of embarrassing at times, especially in church. But when drinking, he could be verbally, emotionally, and occasionally physically abusive. As a matter of fact, Mom would sometimes take us to sleep at the neighbor's when Dad was having a particularly bad night. We did move out several times for our own safety and attempt to get him to stop drinking. The last time I vividly remember is Mom and I moved furniture to an apartment she had rented in the middle of the night as Dad slept off his latest binge. This time was different, though. After previously failed attempts at a dryout center, he was able to quit drinking and became a member of AA. Mom attended Al-Anon, and I attended Alateen. My sister Roxy, at the time, was off to university, and my sister Barb was embarking on her own rebellion. At Alateen, I met other damaged teenagers, and as dumb as it sounds, we began to experiment with alcohol. I was still attending church, though, and became good friends with some Christian boys. And one night, one of them witnessed to me, and I prayed for Jesus to come into my heart and save me. My friend explained to me how great this was, that I was going to heaven for sure, no matter what I did from this point forward. I was so happy. Unfortunately, I took the no matter what I did a little too literally. After a short time, I started hanging around with a co-worker and got into a whole different crowd. I began to drink more and experiment with drugs. I bounced back and forth between my church and party friends for a while, but by grade 11, church was a thing of the past. Though I wasn't with them anymore, I kept hanging on to the words of my Christian friend who said I was going to heaven no matter what. I just didn't get it. In fact, if I had honestly turned my life over to Christ, I wouldn't want to do these things. Instead, I would want to do what pleases God. Nevertheless, with my party friends, I thought I had it made. It was a constant struggle. I had a good church background, but never felt I belonged there, so it was easier to turn my back on the truth. The next 10 years were a blur of partying and getting into a bit of trouble with the law and plenty of other things I'm ashamed of. After some of the things I did, I'm a little amazed I'm alive. Even though I didn't care what happened to me, God did. He protected me and helped me get through this period of my life. Through it all, He had a plan. In the middle of this crazy environment, God put some good people in my path. One of these was my future wife, Barb. Though she wasn't a Christian back then, she did go to the parties, but she held me to a higher standard than the rest of the people in my life. We dated, and despite me trying hard to sabotage things, Barb stuck with me. Encouraged me to quit drinking and get my act together. Just as things started coming together, another crisis hit my family. Although I painted my dad in a bad light in the beginning, all that changed when he took his last drink in 1977. After that, he was a pretty good father and husband. Us kids were grown now and on our own and assumed everything was good at home. But in 1990, Mom moved into the basement of the family home without explanation. Mom had always been very, very quiet and extremely shy, and we never questioned it. We just thought that's the way she was. Shouldn't have looked up. I lost my spot. We had no idea what was actually going on with her all those years. Much later, we found out she'd been battling severe depression since she was a teenager. She never allowed herself treatment or talked to a doctor. Instead, she tried to keep it in to herself and to keep the family going. Her depression was severe now, to the point she was hearing voices on a regular basis. She moved to the basement, trying to get away from them. Not knowing this, Dad didn't know what to do. He did what he thought was right, and he kept an eye on her, made sure she was safe. Then one day I got a call from my sister that Mom was missing. Her card was gone, and Dad hadn't seen her for 24 hours. We searched everywhere, and we couldn't find her, everywhere we could think of, and eventually Roxy and Arbor found her out at our abandoned farmyard, sleeping in her car in a desperate attempt to get away from the voices. I'm ashamed to say I didn't think very highly of God back then. Here was a woman that had devoted her life to Him. She epitomized what I thought a Christian woman should be. She was humble, and she thought of everyone else way before herself. And this is how God chose to treat her. Over the next years, Mom went through several treatments, including electroshock therapy. She was in and out of the hospital many times until They eventually found the right balance of medication and therapy. Through this all, my sisters and I spent a lot of time with Mom, and I was continuously amazed by her faith. Never once she wavered in her walk with the Lord. I just can't imagine having your own mind turn against you, voices in your head saying awful things, and still being able to give thanks to the Lord every day. At one particularly dark time, Mom was hallucinating about people in her living room, and she was generally mistrustful of all of us. I was worried she may try taking her own life, so I asked her about that. She said that though the thought crossed her mind, it was something she would never do. Promised myself I wouldn't pass out. Didn't say anything about crying, I guess, but I didn't think that was an option. But she said this was the life that God had given her. She was thankful for it, and she had amazing faith. Mom recovered, and things were fairly good at home. She even went to the U of S one summer to upgrade her teaching certificate, something she'd always wanted to do. Praise the Lord. He was starting to show me he wasn't so bad after all, and he really could make things good according to his purpose. During this time, Barb and I were married in 1992 after 7 years of dating. It took me a long time to be worthy of her. We bought a house and settled down. In 95, our lives changed forever when little Carly was born. Having a baby brought us closer to our family, and soon my sister Roxy and brother-in-law Arvid and their children became a big part of our lives. They began picking Carly up for Sunday school in Awana. They did this never once judging us for not coming with them. It took us a while, but we started attending Bridgeway every now and then, and by the time Wade was born, we had become regulars and tried to attend each week. I just cannot say enough about God's patience and also Roxy and Arvid's. I've learned so much about faith, discipline, and compassion from Roxy and Arvid, along with Craig and Allison. They have been a huge blessing and influence in our lives, and I don't know where we would be without them today. They truly have been our best friends, and I cannot imagine our lives without them. My great aunt Linda, is another person who really inspired me in her walk of faith. While most of her life was spent in Africa converting Muslims to Christianity, currently at the age of 98, her mission field is in her apartment building in Swift Current, which is where I've had the pleasure of getting to know her lately. She witnesses to others daily, and her door is always open to share the gospel. Like my mother did, she lives each day to praise God. Only with Aunt Linda, her faith is more outwardly visible and bold. That brings me to my wife, Barb. I won't spend a lot of time talking about her, as she truly does not want any attention on herself. But that's what makes it so incredible that after coming to Bridgeway, she was able to stand up here and give her testimony. I was amazed. Since then, she has spoken and prayed publicly when it was the right thing to do. And believe me, she didn't do it so she could be heard or seen, but rather for the glory of God and to encourage others. Again, I thank God for her, and I'm amazed at God's perfect plan to put her in my life. My two biggest heroes are Carly and Wade. Carly, you have it tough. Tough in the fact that you and I are a lot alike. You have inherited my urge to stray from time to time, my weird sense of humor, clumsiness, the worry about not having enough food for a 12-hour shift, and some other struggles common to my side of the family. You have turned into such a beautiful and strong, intelligent, and talented young lady. The courage and faith you have shown battling through some extremely hard situations has inspired me. You keep trusting God, moving forward, no matter what is in your path. Now you have become the most caring and compassionate nurse. I'm so proud of you. And Wade, well, you're one of the bigger reasons I'm up here. You have amazed me lately. I guess I always assumed you shared my fear of public speaking, crowds, and generally the unknown and situations I can't control. Well, if you do, you sure don't show it. Going on that sore trip took courage like crazy. Talk about your unknown situations. You have overcome any fear that you maybe once had and use your talents to serve the Lord within and outside the church wherever called upon. It makes me so proud of you, yet ashamed of myself at the same time for not having the same courage. You kids have taught me so much. Yeah, I'm blessed to have you in my life. God has been nudging me for so long. I'm just about it seems I was a different person when I first began thinking about baptism. There never seemed to be the perfect time, and I always had an excuse why I could not stand up and give my testimony. A few years ago, a close friend of mine died of cancer. As I sat with him worrying about his salvation, it dawned on me that my time was running out as well, and I wanted to take this step. But I still ignored the call. A few years after that, while trimming a tree in my dad's backyard, a branch broke, and I fell a fair distance, landing on my head. I considered myself lucky to be alive, let alone relatively unscathed. I really thought I needed to do this then again, but needed more time, more convincing. Last year, Pastor Bob asked during a sermon, how in the world could a little stage fright keep you from speaking about your faith in a room full of people who are cheering you on, when in some countries, people are declaring their faith in front of people that will kill them for it? It was as if he was speaking straight to me. Since then, I've not been able to get Pastor Bob's words out of my head. Then during Chad's Sunday school class last year, he talked about how for many Christians, they didn't have an immediate transformation upon being saved, but rather it was often a slow change over time. Things were now making sense. God had been transforming me for years, and now, looking back, I could see how far I had come. I had asked Jesus into my heart many times over the years and never felt completely transformed. Because of this, I thought I was doing something wrong. But now I can see the life given to me by God, despite my own best attempts to sabotage things at times, has indeed been transformed in a huge way. People in my life, my family, my friends, our church family, Pastor Bob, have all been used by God to reach me and shape me. I am no longer afraid to be up here and proclaim my faith and my commitment to grow as a Christian. While writing my testimony, a verse that kept speaking to me was 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. In so many ways, the Lord has shown me his faithfulness through this message. In my life, in the lives of others, I have been a witness to, and especially in my mom's. A verse that always hung on mom's fridge was Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with your heart, working for the Lord, as working for the Lord and not for men. I'm excited to take this step and be baptized. I know my mom would be very proud, and I look forward to celebrating with her in heaven. I'll use Lincoln's line. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Any words of encouragement for these three? Amazing testimonies. Over there.
Hello?
Oh, there we go. So after a year and a half of marriage, Elisa knows I'm a crier. So this is a verse that I've read many times, and I read it every time I feel inadequate for God's love. So it's 1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. And with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, and the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So even when we feel inadequate, Jesus shows his perfect patience.
I just want to thank all of the people who gave their testimony. I think we have been shown this morning how important it is to hear people's stories. And I thank you for blessing us. I just think of your mom and how excited she would be to see you today do this. It's so awesome. And Marie, I think of the words that you said of how your description of the body and how each of us is important. I think we should have that hanging on the wall somewhere here, because that was just so awesome, the words that you used. That was beautiful, and I thank you for that. I just thank you for each one of you who gave your testimony is so precious, whether you're 10 years old or older. And I just, they're just such a blessing. And I pray that if there's others of you here who are still wondering if you should take this step, and I know there are, I just pray that you would consider that, because we need to hear your stories too. They are all so precious.
Okay. So growing up, Mom was more of the wordy one. Writing the Bible verses in our Bibles, and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and scrolling it out in her beautiful handwriting. And at the end was always etched almost as if in stone. And Dad, very gruff and very, I always knew Dad had Mom's back and always was on the same page and always together that way. So to see him take a stand today by himself is awesome. And to watch these beaming grandkids watching him right now is amazing. So as much as it speaks to me as the daughter, these grandkids, it's awesome.
I wanted to congratulate everyone for their steps of baptism this morning. I wanted to address this basically to Murray and Todd. Back when I managed the Bata Athletes World, I used to stop in all the time to see Murray at the Swift Shoe Repair. And I always knew Murray was always a whistler. And if you want to hear him whistle, he's a great whistler. But he always had a beaming smile on his face. He always had a joy in his heart. And I wanted to just say this morning how proud I was of him. Todd, I grew up with you as a neighbor, and thank you for all that you did for me. And I just wanted to say how proud that your mom would be today to see you, and bless you today.
I can't even do this for 30 seconds, I don't think, but Todd, I'm so thankful and happy to see you being baptized today. I know that it's your desire for God to use you, and taking this step shows your commitment to that. And I found a couple Bible verses that I'll read for you to encourage you. Jeremiah 17:7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And Psalm 16:8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. But I'm shaking right now. And Mom would be so proud.
Okay, as Darren said earlier, there's opportunities afterwards to talk to them and encourage them. We'll go and get ready. And Curtis, I think you're going to come and lead us in the next worship package. And we'll get ready for the baptisms.
We're good. going to invite you to stand with us. And the reason that we can celebrate this together is because our Redeemer lives. Not just because Jesus was a good teacher, but because he died and rose again. And he is alive. And we can celebrate that. And we can share our testimonies and our stories, because by his death and his resurrection, we have life. And he transforms us. Just like Todd said, he transforms us day by day through circumstances in life. And it's just great to have him share all these stories shared with us this morning. So we're going to sing together in celebration, My Redeemer Lives.
My darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am.
before you're singing, you may be seated.
All right, Hayden Smith.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we'll just wait. We can splash Brent here a little bit. So, Hayden, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins?
I do.
Well, hearing your confession and your testimony today, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Hey, Chase.
Hi.
I'll just get closer to the mic.
Sure.
Chase, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's died on the cross for your sins?
I do.
And you accepted him as your Savior?
I do.
Hearing your testimony, and I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's kind of a good thing that we have a cover on this because the two young guys were talking about doing cannonballs for the baptism, so. Lincoln Martins, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that you've accepted him as your Savior?
I do.
Having heard your testimony, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. High five.
Lisa, so do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and that he died for the forgiveness of your sin?
I do.
Well, upon hearing your testimony, we as a church family want to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right. No, Murray, your grandkids are telling me that you're going to pull me under the water.
Yeah, I forgot my water wings and stuff, okay. Too. Well, good thing there's two of us.
Yeah. Murray Metby, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
That he died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
Hearing your testimony a little earlier, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go, man.
Thank you.
Long time coming.
Thank you.
Glad to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, Todd, you know the guy whose testimony is the longest stays underwater the longest.
It's not good.
Todd Clausen, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins?
I do.
And you have forgiveness?
I do.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
While they're getting changed and ready for the last part in our time in communion, I'm going to invite you to stand again, and we want to sing the song "I've Been Changed," just a great song to remind us of the stories that have been told. So.
Your spirit.
the work on earth is done.
Let's sing one more time the first verse and chorus together.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can celebrate together the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him we have new life, we have hope, we have transformation, we have joy, peace, all the things that you have given us in his sacrifice for us. We thank you for that. We thank you for all those who have shared their stories, who've taken this step of faith and commitment, and proudly and boldly proclaim your name in front of us this morning. And we just thank you for that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if we've got our servers come forward, we're going to move right into communion, and then we'll be off for lunch. So, in our Acts series so far, we've been got the wave there. I got nothing. Okay, there we go. In our Acts series so far, we've been following the journey of the church as it was birthed, and then as it moved out with the gospel, and. It started out in chapter 2 when we saw how that new church functioned. And it says there that they gathered for fellowship and for the apostles' teaching and for prayer. And part of that was the breaking of bread. And we understand that term to mean the sharing of communion. It goes back to Jesus on the night before he went to the cross, took bread and wine, distributed to his disciples, and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And today, we've had opportunity to be reminded of that through the testimonies that we've heard. And I think that I don't need a whole lot of introduction to the communion. We'll move right into that, other than to say a few words. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you." We'll just dip the bread, and then after that, the cup. Let's give thanks together. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus that was given for us. Thank you that through him we have forgiveness of sins. Amen. And after the bread, Jesus took the cup and distributed it to his disciples and said, "Drink this. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." We'll distribute the cup now. give thanks for the cup. Father God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin, past, present, and future. We thank you for the reminder today of what salvation has meant to those who shared their stories today. And we're encouraged by that. But then as you look into our own lives, Lord, we also want to, from the bottom of our hearts, lift the cup and drink it with gratitude to you for our own salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, in a few moments after that, we make our way down to enjoy lunch together. We thank you for those who prepared lunch today. We thank you for the blessing of food and refreshments and fellowship. And we just pray you just bless our time together. May we remember to encourage those who told their stories with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, just an invitation to stay for lunch. God bless you all, and have a good week.